cool. Let's see. I need a piece of paper. Here we go. I'm on this side this morning. No sugar. No salt, you know. Protein only. There we go. 10 sets of 10 push-ups. There we go. Listen to podcasts. Okay. Apologize to friends for calling them bozos. Oh, good morning. Sorry, I was just, you know, writing down my New Year's resolutions. You know, now that Christmas is over, it's time for that preparation of the new year. Today, I have an interesting sermon prepared for you. Anyone know what day it is tomorrow? I was looking for Monday, but yes, it's New Year's. Yes, it will be New Year's Eve. The end of 2018 and the beginning of 2019, full of resolutions and ball droppings galore. Before we begin our new year, I'll be telling you of a very special New Year's resolution. A certain happening after Christmas and before a huge change. It's more of a revolution now that I think about it, but this resolution isn't of our own doing. This is God's New Year's resolution. So your typical try at a New Year's resolution goes about like this. Oh, I gained a couple pounds over this past year. It must be stress from my job or school, you know. My clothes don't fit well anymore. I should lose weight so that I can feel better again. And then you start a plan. You'll go to the gym 5 days a week. 5 a.m. wake-ups. No sugar, no salt, just pure protein, baby. You feel pumped. You feel inspired. And as soon as that clock strikes midnight, there will be a new year along with a new you. And then 5 days changes to 3 days a week. And then 5 a.m. changes to 5:30. Maybe 5:45. Who am I kidding? It's going to be 6:15 and you're going to have to go out the door for work anyway. So the gym will have to wait. And it just so happens to be 2 birthdays in the office that week. And the slice of chocolate Walmart bakery cake is just calling your name. It's like, eat me, eat me. It's like, no, okay. And so now we're back to square one. Maybe a little worse off than we were, but hey, we humans are creatures of habit. We have our favorite foods, our specific routines, and behaviors that should be adjusted or banished entirely. Yet, no matter what we do, we seem to get stuck when it comes to change. Our New Year's resolutions don't seem to be doing much resolving. Are we just doomed to never achieving our resolutions? Or is it a flaw in the system entirely? Let's see. The definition of resolution in the dictionary is a firm decision to do or not to do something. This definition really defines what we think of in the terms of the new year. We firmly decide to work out. We firmly decide not to eat sugar. We firmly decide not to call our friends bozos. But this firm decision doesn't seem to be enough to achieve our resolution. So how can we fix this? Let's make a plan. Let's make steps of a New Year's resolution. Okay, this will make it so much easier to follow through. All right, step one, you identify your resolution. This will be the change that you want to make in your life, where you firmly decide to do or not to do something. Step two, you make the plan. You hit that gym. You eat no sugar. You hold your tongue so you don't call your friends bozos. And step three, you tell everyone you want to impress. This is also known as the accountability clause. In the case where you only tell one person, that person is your accountability partner. You see, with this step, you have to stick to your plan, otherwise you face shame. And nobody wants that. All right, step four, you start your plan, and step five, you achieve your goals. Ideally. Now, these steps can get you maybe around step four, you know, start your plan. Starting your plan to achieve your New Year's resolution is probably the hardest part. I mean, what are we possibly to do to maintain that motivation, that stamina, that endurance? We get so caught up in all the festivities and the excitement and the possibilities of these resolutions that once the day has passed, we just lose that excitement. We try and try every year to keep our resolutions, and we just can't maintain them. With all this in mind, we tend to forget the second meaning of resolution, which is the action of solving a problem, dispute, or conscientious matter. We almost need a resolution to solve our problems with resolutions. But the sermon isn't about us. Not yet, anyway. It's not about our resolutions that we try and try every year to keep them. It's about God's New Year's resolutions. Here's where God comes in. Here's his problem. Here's his step one. This is a change he needs to make. Let's see if you recognize this story. Genesis 3, 1 through 4. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that if you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Skipping ahead to Genesis 3, 8 through 9. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Genesis 3, 21, 24. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. This sounds familiar. Even though I edited out a few parts, you must know the story of the fall of man. God's people, his beautiful creation made in his image, have now been separated from God's spirit, from the temptations of the devil. This is where things went downhill. This is the extra pounds you gained from work. This is the several instances where you called your friend bozo and hurt their feelings. This is where God decided to fix things, to change things, to solve this problem, to bring a resolution. All right, so God has his New Year's resolution. God completed step one of the New Year's resolution plan, and God wanted to return his people back to his kingdom, back to his love, his hope, his joy, and his peace. So, how is he going to do that? Any guesses?
He becomes a bird.
He becomes a bird. Yes. He becomes Jesus. Step two is making a plan, and boy, does God have one. It's clear as day in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's plan is written out. It's plain as day. And John 3:16 is perhaps one of the most famous and most quoted scripture in the entire world. Talk about an accountability partner. That being said, God has the most accountability on his resolution, the most possible. His accountability for his plan to redeem his people is spread throughout the Bible. Not only in the New Testament, where Jesus is clearly living out that plan, but it's sprinkled in the Old Testament as well. Psalms, prophets, Old Testament stories, they all symbolize the coming of the Messiah. From Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6-7, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This is a well-known prophecy of the Messiah, and it was given about 700 years before Jesus was born to Mary. And the Son will not only be born of a virgin, but it is Emmanuel, God with us. It's also quoted in the New Testament of Matthew 1:23. So God knew exactly what his plan was, and he told it exactly how it was occurred. Not to mention, it was 700 years beforehand. I haven't even made my New Year's resolution. I'd made it the day before. You could say that God knew exactly how Christmas was going to go that year. Even after Jesus was born, in Hosea 11, verse 1, when Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. This is a direct correlation to where Jesus and his family had to go to Egypt to escape King Herod and then return to Israel. So God wanted everybody to know of his hope, his peace, his joy, his love. He laid out an exact plan, and he's telling everybody he can. God's really got step three down then. And so when God wills it, God does it. Just as he created the heavens and the earth, the light and the dark, God goes to step four. He starts his plan. As John 3:16 states, God's plan was simple. Jesus, his one and only Son, will don flesh and enter our world. He'll save everybody from the sin that has separated us from God, and we'd be reunited all together again. Now, these messianic psalms and prophets describe Jesus as a king, the actual Son of God, God in flesh appearing, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and the Prince of Peace. Jesus was described exactly as he is. He is of the utmost royalty, the most divine. The Jewish people at that time were waiting for a king, and you can imagine what they imagined. From the line of King David, people expected baby Jesus to come from royalty, to be this huge deal, to be painfully obvious that this was the Son of God coming down from heaven to save everybody. that everyone would believe at first sight and everything would be coming up roses. But it wasn't like that. The start of God's New Year's resolution was small, unassuming. It was in poverty, in a young couple with hardly anything to their name, to shepherds in a field protecting their sheep throughout the night, to some wise scholars who followed a star to find a baby born in a small stable in Bethlehem, cattle lowing and peace among them. Now this start, as it's unassuming, it was absolutely perfect. People believed that they were to serve an almighty, an all-powerful king as they had served King David through the Caesars on the many thrones. This is what they were ready for, but it wasn't what God wanted exactly. In the humble entrance of God entering the world in his human form, God connected to us in the way he has always desired, walking side by side with us as he did in the Garden of Eden. God wants us close. He desires a relationship with us, and he started by coming down from the perfect heaven he dwells in, a place where God naturally belongs, and he came down to earth, an imperfect world full of poverty, crime, death, and sin. And he didn't come down in all of his glory either. God blended in perfectly with the world to then show his people that he is not of this world, that he is the Messiah, that he has been the one that they had been waiting for. He did it through turning water into wine at a small wedding party. He did it through talking to a Gentile prostitute woman at a well where no one would even look at her. He did it through healing a woman who had been bleeding for years as she reached out to touch his robes. He did it through the calming of the seas and the sky when his disciples were frightened and scared. He did it through healing the paralyzed, the sick, and raising the dead. He did it through feeding a crowd of thousands with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he even made leftovers. He did it through dying on a cross, a criminal's end, being mocked, tortured, and abandoned by his disciples. He went through all of this and still offered salvation to a criminal hanging alongside him. He did it through taking our sins to the grave with him as an innocent sacrifice, and he did it through his resurrection just 3 days later. This was the huge plan, to start small, to engage with all of his people, to create this huge impact. This resolution starts off small, and it seems unassuming, but when you look at the account of it all, when you read exactly how God became flesh, what he did on earth to connect with his people as he desires to, and how he died to save us from that sin that separated us from him, this is the resolution. This is the revolution. And it went all according to plan. But we humans still fail at keeping our resolutions. Maybe it's our pride, our high expectations of ourselves, things out of our control. Maybe your friends really are bozos. Maybe it's unrealistic. Or it's a New Year's resolution that isn't in line with how God wants us to be living. But maybe it's something that runs deeper within us, a moral or spiritual strength that we lack that would keep us going if we had it. So since he's already achieved his New Year's resolution flawlessly, let's let God help us with our new year. Here's the 5-step plan to achieve your resolutions this year. Step number 1, you identify your resolution and you pray about it. This allows the Holy Spirit to help align our desires with God's desires for us. Step 2, you ask God to give you the strength to make the change he wants you to make, to be the person that he knows you can be. Step 3, You make a plan that is realistic with the aim to improve yourself to please God. Keep Matthew 6:33 in mind. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Step 4, you start your plan. And now this is the leap of faith in knowing that God will not let you down. And step 5, you achieve your goals and you give thanks to your amazing God. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we have a new year ahead of us, but we have not forgotten the year past. You have been with us always, and as we may forget that you have been with us, remind us in the little things, in waking up in the morning and just drawing, praising your name, in communicating with others, that we may spread your glory and your honor and praise. God, be with us. We are not perfect, and we so strive to be, but remind us that you are the perfect God, and that you will help us get there and help us live together with you just as you have desired. Amen.